Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London, Wednesday, 10th of Cheshvan, 25th of October, Rabbi Elchanan Goldblatt Shlita, Parsha theme. This week's Torah way is sponsored anonymously.
Bishus, can I just thank Joshi Frankel for arranging the photocopies? This is a sicha of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz on Parshas Lech Lecha. It's very original. There are some bits of it I'm not sure I've got clear, but we'll do our best. If you look at the two psukim at the top, you will remember the War of the Four Kings and the Five Kings, and after Kedola Omer and his allies had defeated the other side, they captured Lot and they took everything that was in the town of Stone, and Avram and the Yelidei Veso went and they defeated Kedola Omer, got Lot back, and they took back everything that belonged to Stom. And the king of Stom said, Ten lian nefesh, or achush kach loch, give me back the people of Stom, but you can keep all the property. At this stage, we have these two psukim at the top. Vayomer Avrom el melech Sodom. Avrom said to the king of Stom, Harimos yodia lashem keil elyon kanei shamayim v'oitz, I'm taking a shavua. I'm not taking anything from you. Not a chut, which is a string. We may in about 27 and a half minutes talk about what the string was, but I'm not taking so much as a string or a shoelace. So there are two questions that we're going to get to in about 15 minutes' time. One is, why is it that Avram refused to take any property, any gifts from the king of Stone? After all, he deserved them, and why not? I remember a distinguished Baal Stock, a very great Gvir, who had a principle which was La'olam Tikach. Why is it that Avraham Avinu took the view that he shouldn't take anything from the king of Stone? And why on earth did he need to take a Shavua? Why take a Shavua? Just say, thank you, but no thank you. Okay, so let's get going. Number two is a story in Gemara in Maseches Chulin. Chal is the Hebrew for the udder of a cow, the bit that you get the milk from. Now, koshering of a chal is kosher, even though it's meat, and there is in it milk, it is kosher. The how you kosher it is quite complicated, and I forgot how to do that 45 years ago, but it is kosher. There were two minogim, says the Gemara. In Sura, the minog was not to eat chal, and in Pumpadisa, the minog was to eat chal. Says the Gemara, it's there in number two, Romi Bar Tamra, who's also known as Romi Bar Dikulis, from Pumpadisa. Pumpadis is where they did eat chal, they did eat yadas. And he happened to be in Sura, where they didn't, on Erev Yom Kippur. And we all know that Erev Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah, you have to have a suda. Okay, so Rami Bar Tamra, also known as Rami Bar Tikula, was there. And because in Sura they don't eat chal, everybody had taken the chal, they'd taken the yadas from their presumably geshochtener animals and thrown them out. So he went and he got the chal that they'd thrown out, and he cooked it, and he ate it, and that was his suda. Okay, good. So they brought him in front of Rav Chista, and the following conversation took place. Rav Chista said to him, what did you do that for? You know, after all, here, we don't eat chal. He said, I am from Rav Yudah's town, and in Rav Yudah's town, the minhag is you do eat chal. He said, what about the fact that you have to have someone who's in a fixed place as a minhagim of that place? But someone who's travelling has the chumras of the place he comes from and the chumras of the place where he is at the moment. So even if in your town they eat chal, you're here, you are in Sura, and you shouldn't be eating chal. He said, I ate it outside the tchum. Outside the tchum, there is no issue of the monhogim of the town because you're outside the tchum, you're not in the town. He said, no, and what did you use for fuel? So he said, I used portsana. Sorry?
What did you use what?
For fuel, to cook it. So he said, I use portsana. Portsana is the leftovers after you've crushed the grapes to make wine. I used portsana for it. He said, how do you know they didn't come from Yain Nasech, which is also Bano? He said, they were more than 12 months old. By the time that portsana, 12 months old, they're dried out. There's no more wine there. How do you know it wasn't Gezel? He said, it was Hefker. It had been there so long, there were things growing on it. So far, Rami Bar Tamra is doing fine, and Rav Chista's got nowhere. You will remember that in the time of Chazal, they used to wear tefillin all day, as the late Rav Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to do. So he said to him, why aren't you wearing tefillin? I'm a chole mayayim, I have a stomach disorder. Someone who's a chole mayayim is potter tefillin. I mean, what are you going to do? You put them on, you need the toilet, you take them off, you go to the toilet, come back, you put them on, you need the, impossible. So chole mayayim, someone who has a serious stomach disorder, is potter tefillin. He said, and why have you got tzitzis? The clothes I'm wearing are not mine, they're borrowed. And borrowed talus is potter tzitzis 30 days. Okay, that's the story. So Reb Chaim said this, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, our Rosh Yeshiva, Zecher Tzadik, Kadosh Livracha. Reb Chaim said, look, think about this gentleman, Roma Bar Tamra, Roma Bar Dekula. He's an Oni Meduka. I mean, he's clearly, he has absolutely nothing. It's Erev Yom Kippur, he's got no food to eat. He has to go to the rubbish dumps to pick up the chal. He has to eat it outside the town because of the meaning of the town. He's never, he's not well, so unwell he can't wear tefillin. And apart from that, he hasn't even got his own clothes. Now, what would you do, or I do, if it was Erev Yom Kippur and Nebuch, we didn't have something to eat? We'd go to a house, l'chachila, with a big mezuzah at the top of the bottom third, and b'dievet any sort of mezuzah, and say, it's Erev Yom Kippur, can I please have something to eat? Is there a Jew in the whole world who wouldn't say, yes, of course? So why do you do this? So Reb Chaim said, and this is entirely original, and Ani Akotin, I don't know. Reb Chaim says, it must have been that Romi da Tamra, Romi ba Dikula from Pumpadisa thought that it is better not to have Hanor from Yenam, better in order not to have Hanor from Yenam, to go scrounging in the rubbish dumps for the food and the fuel and eat outside the town, the Sudas Yomtev of Erev Yom Kippur, more important not to have Hanor from somebody else, than it better to undergo this enormous bizoyon and difficulties and sorrows than to go and ask a tova from somebody else. Better that than to have anor from somebody else. He was mekayim for himself, you will see it in number 4 here. The Gemara which says, Kach mekubalani mibeis aviyabo, I have a Kabbalah from my grandfather. Loilom yaski rodem atzmoi lavoi dezorob al yitztoich labrias, better to rent yourself out. It doesn't mean idolatry, it means an avoda, which is zoro to you. Better, let's assume that you're a doctor, better to hire yourself out to be a porter than to need somebody else. As Rav said to Rav Kana, get yourself a job skinning nevelas in the shuk, and don't say I'm an odm choshev, and it's embarrassing for me. And so that was how Rav Chaim understood that Gemara. That there is an inyan, a chassidus, a chumra, whatever it is, of not having hanor from anybody else. And that's not the only Gemara like that. There is a story, in the Gemara in Chulin, and it's number 5 here, about Reb Pinchas ben Yor. Reb Pinchas ben Yor was a Baal Nes. He did nissim. His donkey, we'll talk about in a minute, because the donkey also did nissim. But Reb Pinchas ben Yor was a Baal Nes. And it once happened that he met Rebbe. It's after a whole sequence of mice, and we can look at there. And Rebbe said, please, will you come and eat with me? And Reb Pinchas ben Yor said, yes. Says the Gemara, Tzov uponov shel Rebbe. Rebbe's face lit up, because everybody knew that Reb Pinchas ben Yor never had hanor from anybody. Ha, he's going to eat with me? Wonderful. So Reb Pinchas ben Yor said, what do you think? You think I've made a neilah not to have hanor from people? Some people who invite you, they've got, but they don't really want you. Some people invite you, they want you, but they haven't really got. So that's why I normally avoid it. But you, Rebbe, you've got, and you want me, so it's fine, but I'm at the moment busy with a very kosher mitzvah, I'll be back. Okay. So Gemara continues. When he came back, the door by which he came in to Rebbe's house, estate, mansion, whatever it was, there were white mules there. And everybody knows that white mules are very dangerous. A white mule kicks you, either it'll kill you, or at least the wound won't recover. Reb Pinchas ben Yor said, the Malach HaMavos says, I'm not going in. Rebbe said, I will. Let's make sure we get it straight, get things exactly in order. Rebbe said, I'll sell them. They won't be here anymore. Pinchas ben Yor said, Lifnei Iver. What about the person who's bought them? I'll be mafke them, said Rebbe. I'll get rid of the mules. I want you to come and eat with me. He said, Hefka, mules like this. That mafish kazekid increases all the nezek. You're just increasing them up. I'll hamstring them. They can't kick anyone. Tzar bali chayim. I'll kill them, said Rebbe, but come to supper. That's Baal Tashkis. So at that stage, Rebbe really put pressure on, and the Rebbein Sholem did a nes, and a mountain grew between them so that Rebbe couldn't invite him in. Okay, so Rebbe says, if b'chayim tzadikim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashane hateva, think what he does after their death, and that, look at the Gemara about all of that is about. But what do we see here? This was Nodim Sholem, and he's got the same minug as Romi Batamre. He never gets hand off from anyone. Have a look at number 6. Amru Olav Repinchas Ben Yoah, Miyomav Levots Al Prusa She'ena Shalo. He never ate anything that wasn't his. Miyom She'omad Al Dato, Lenenemi, he didn't even eat from his father from the day. So it's the same thing, isn't it? Here you have an Odom Sholem who's one of the chumras that he has is that he never takes hanor from anyone. I'm going to talk about the donkey, even though it's irrelevant, because it's great. There are various versions of the story about the donkey of Rav Pinchas Ben Yoah, and the one I put there is from the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. It's there as 5b. So the way the story goes, according to the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, is that some bandits stole the donkey of Rav Pinchas Ben Yoah. The donkey was in their house 3 days. It wouldn't eat anything. The bandits said, Ribbono Shel Olam, the donkey's going to die. It'll stink up the cave. Impossible. So they sent it back to Rav Pinchas Ben Yoah. The donkey arrived at the house of Rav Pinchas Ben Yoah, and it brayed, whatever the noise the donkeys make is. And Rav Pinchas Ben Yoah said, ah, the poor thing's back. Bring it in. Give it something to eat. They gave it something to eat. It wouldn't eat. So they went to Rav Pinchas Ben Yoah, and they said, what's the problem? They said, why won't it eat? He said, have you taken Trumas and Maishas? They said, yes. He said, is it perhaps Demai? You remember Demai is something you buy from Amolitz, and he must have taken Trumas. No. They said, a donkey's not chayev in Demai. The punchline I have highlighted for you, and this we have to have the Hebrew. Amalahu, my Navid law, what can we do? This Kamur is a Machmir. Okay, good. It is a great line, is it not? Anyway, so the question arises, if it is the case that Rami Bar Tamra would not eat from anything that was not his, and Rav Pinchas Ben Yoah wouldn't eat from anything that wasn't his, the question is, why not? So Reb Chaim said, and wherever I've quoted Reb Chaim word for word, I've put it in italics number 7, that if you owe somebody a favor, you're meshubad to them, you're dependent on them, okay, good, fine, all of that is true. But he also had the most extraordinary medrash, which goes like this. To introduce it, we need to know a little bit about Shem HaMeforesh. You remember the Pasuk in Shmos, it's here as number 8. One of the things which we find with Moshe Rabbeinu is that every event that we see before Matan Torah is Moshe Rabbeinu taking care of somebody else. Every time we see it, he takes care of somebody else. He found an Egyptian hitting a Jew, saved the Jew. Find 2 Jews squabbling, stop the squabbling. Finds the shepherds bullying the girls at the well. Every time he interferes to help somebody else. That's even before you come to the Midrash about what he did or didn't do for the lambs. So in the second of these events, when he came and he found the 2 Jews squabbling, Vayomer lo rosho lo mosakeri echa. So what did the Rosh reply? Number 8, Mi samecho le'ish sa'o shofet olenu, who put you in charge of us? What does Omer mean in that pasuk? The pashtus is, are you intending to kill me like you killed the Mitzri? That's pashtus. But the Medrash which Rashi quotes is, Omer, are you speaking to kill me? We see from here that he killed him with the Shem HaMeforesh. How this can be done, I really don't know. It's not the sort of thing that I know anything at all about, but it's possible with the Shem HaMeforesh to kill someone. Bear in mind that what we are trying to do is discover why there should be that an Odom Sholem doesn't want to have Hanor from anybody else. So there's a Medrash in Kelis Rabbah which goes like this. It's number 9. There was an Asya, that's a doctor in Tzipori. And this doctor had the Shem HaMeforesh. Kabol HaMimach, when he was going to die, he said, is there in the town somebody who is on a Madrega Sach that I should pass on to him the Shem HaMeforesh? I have the Shem HaMeforesh. I'm dying. I would like to pass this on to somebody if there's somebody appropriate. They told him there's Rav Pinchas Ben Chama. Rav Pinchas Ben Chama is an Odom on a Madrega Sach that you could give him the Shem HaMeforesh. So he called him in. So Asa he came. Sholom Basre he sent for him. Vas he came. Shol Yosei asked him. Amalei said to him, Nesavus min yudoi klum min yomach. Have you ever accepted Hanor from another Jew? have you ever accepted Hanor from another Jew? This is, before he gives him Shem HaMeforesh, this is the fire. Amalei, he said to him, yes, Nasivas Maisa, I've accepted Maisa. Presumably he was a Levi. Levi is entitled to Maisa. Maisa does not belong to the person who's giving the Maisa, it belongs to the Shevet Levi. I've accepted Levi. So, Velo Kibble Mimsalei, and so the doctor wouldn't give him Shem HaMeforesh. Why would he not give him Shem HaMeforesh? The only thing he's ever accepted is Maisa, which he is entitled to. The Torah says we've got to give him Maisa. Ami said, Dilva Tova Gabu Banash Klumbi Lo Yov Leva Chosa Leva Kotle. What does that mean? He said, you know, people who take benefits from others come to feel a sense of entitlement. When they feel a sense of entitlement, they go to somebody and they say, give me, I'm entitled. And if the other person doesn't give them, they get angry. And if this fellow's got the Shem HaMeforesh with which you can kill people, who knows what he might do? It could be that he'll feel an entitlement. He'll come to me for Maisa. So I will say, thank you, but no thank you. I choose to give my Maisa to somebody else. And he'll be so angry because of his sense of entitlement that he'll kill me with Shem HaMeforesh. I'm not giving him Shem HaMeforesh, said Reb Chaim. Look, just look, just look. What the Medrash thinks accepting things from other people theoretically could lead to. So that, Reb Chaim thought, is perhaps why Avraham Avinu, and we'll get there in a couple of minutes, didn't want to accept from anybody. First, if you accept from people, it makes you dependent on them. Secondly, Ribbono Shel Olam, look what it might lead to. Sense of entitlement. You might kill somebody with Shem HaMeforesh. Terrible. Okay, so this is an unusual, it's an original, it's a very surprising idea. What are we to do with the Gemara in Brachos, which is here in number 10? Omer Abaya Vitema Rab Yitzhak, Haroitze Lehanas, Yehenek Elisha. Someone who wants to have Hanor, he can, like Elisha did. You remember the first case that we're aware of somebody making an extension in their roof is the lady from Shunem. When Elisha got to Shunem, he used to eat in this lady's house, and she made for him a roof extension, and she put there a bed, and she put there a lamp, and so on and so forth. He didn't have Hanor from her, he did. Took everything he needed with him. He went around Klal Yisrael doing Dinei Torah everywhere, but he always took everything he needed with him. So what are we to do if there is this Chumrah, this Midas Chasidus, this whatever it is of not having Hanor? What are we to do with the first part of that Chazal, which says one who wants to lay Hanas is Mutter like Elisha? Well, there's something wrong with Elisha. So the Rosh Yeshiva, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, had a Me'iri. And I put the Me'iri here as 10a. Let's have a look. Adam ha-mekabel hanor ches en me'acherim. Someone's accepting hanor ches from somebody else. Yekabelena al-das should accept it with the intent. Shiyashalim gemul acher, that he'll pay back. Shiyadeya ba'atzmo shibiyoda l'shalim, pay back in a way that he knows that he can. The Me'iri is learning in that Gemara that, yeah, he mutter to have Hanor, but like Elisha, what did Elisha do? You remember he called her in? You remember he said to Gehazi?
I do for you.
Sorry,
what can I do for you?
What can I do for you? And she said, nothing, I know your shows, I'm fine, I don't need anything. Gehazi said, but she doesn't have a child, and her husband's old, and Elisha gives her a brach, and she has a child. And later the child dies, and Elisha does Tchiyas HaMeisim. I mean, I think giving a child Tchiyas HaMeisim is at least as valuable as an extension in the roof. So the Me'iri is really a very good and original pshat in the Gemara. Yeah, you can have Hanor, like Elisha had Hanor, pay her back double and 100 times. Okay, so perhaps that is why it is that Avraham Avinu said, I'm not taking Hanor from you, I don't want Hanor from you, I don't want to be mechuyev to you. I don't want to start feeling a sense of entitlement. I'm not accepting things from you. But why did he take a shavua? Why did he take a shavua? So have a look at the Gemara in Makkos, which is here at number 12. It's a very, very famous loshen, but on it there's a Rashi that I didn't know. Reb Chananya ben Akashi Omer Rotzeh Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakas Yisrael Fikoch Yirblem Torah Mitzvah Shneema. Yeah, we all know that. What's it mean? Marbe Torah Mitzvah. So there's a Rashi. Have a look at the Rashi. The Rashi is number 13. That they should have schar in that they hold themselves back from aveiros. So, for example, says Rashi, look how many yisurim there are on eating shkotzim uramosim. Anyone present who's ever felt a taiva to eat a sheketz or a remes, please raise a hand now. I mean, nobody would ever do that. Nobody would ever do that. Hibalim tira mitzvahs, he gives us mitzvahs to do things that we're going to do anyway. Gives us mitzvahs not to do things that we're never going to do anyway. So what's that about? How does that work? How do you get schar? So Reb Chaim said, consider the following. Let's assume I have in front of me, here on the table, a piece of food which is utterly and completely disgusting. No normal person would eat it. Not even Erev Yom Kippur from the rubbish dumps. Nobody would eat it. And I discover that in it there is a deathly poison. Now, why is it that I don't eat it? The reason I don't eat it is not because it's disgusting. The reason I don't eat it is because it'll kill me. So Reb Chaim said, that's what's going on here. What is going on here is that even if there is a midah, a chumrah, a chasidus, a good idea of not having hanor, but why is it that Avraham Avinu is not having hanor? Is he not having hanor because it's a good idea not to have hanor? Or is he not having hanor because if he's taken a shvur not to, then he has an issa deraisa of having hanor? The reason for not eating the food is not because it's disgusting, it's because it's poisonous. The reason of not having hanor is not because it's bad for my middas, it's because I've taken a shavua not to have hanor. If I've taken a shavua, then the Ribbono Shel Olam is assuring me. It changes the motive. There's a famous Rashi in Parshas Kedoshim, number 15. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Minayin Shelo Yom Adam, a person shouldn't say, I think that chazer is disgusting, I could never eat it. I think kilayim is repulsive, I could never wear it. What he should say is, Efshi, I could, but what can I do? Ribbono Shel Olam told me not to. Ah. So what that chazal seems to be saying is that you shouldn't say, of course, I would never do anything like that. You should say, I absolutely could and I absolutely would, but the Ribbono Shel Olam told me not to. Now, there is a perish, a mishnayos of the Rambam. It's in the Shmona Prokim. And the Rambam says something very interesting. He doesn't use exactly the Loshon I'm going to use, but I'll use the Loshon with which we are familiar. The Rambam says there are chazals who say it's better to have a yetzer hara and to control it. Then there are chazals which say it's better never to want to do the Aveira in the first place. I mean, this particular chazal that we just quoted from Rashi, which the Rambam also quotes in the Shmona Prokim, says, you've got to say, I could have done it, but Ribbono Shel Olam said not. So the Rambam says approximately, and I'm shortening this, the Rambam says, the way it works is like this. Chukim, you should say, I could do that, but I won't because Ribbono Shel Olam told me not to. But those things which are logical, those things which are reasonable, those things which any normal, civilized human being believes that nobody will do, those things you should not, chas v'sholom, think I could ever do. I mean, I'm hesitant in these 3 weeks to say this, but if you have a look at the Rambam gives the following examples. The Rambam says that it's completely wrong to say I could murder people, but Ribbono Shel Olam told me not to. Chas v'sholom. We should all of us think I could under no circumstances murder people. You shouldn't think I could steal, but Ribbono Shel Olam told me not to. Chas v'sholom. You should not ever have so much as a taiva, as a feeling you ought to steal. What are the examples in this chazal, says the Rambam? Have a look at the penultimate paragraph in the Rambam. Tisboinim b'chochmosam aleim ha'sholom. See how clever chazal were. Mahim Shira, what did they say? They didn't say Lo Yomer Odmi Efshi Laragis and Efesh. They didn't say a person shouldn't say I couldn't kill, I could kill, but the Ribbono Shel Olam told me not to. Efshi Legnov, I couldn't steal. Efshi Lechazav, I couldn't lie. Elo Efshi, that's not what they said. That's not the examples they gave. Hevi Devarim Kulam, they brought all sorts of things which are Shimiyim is the word he uses for chukim. Basa b'cholov. Don't say I couldn't eat basa b'cholov. I could. Basa b'cholov is a chuk. Except according to the Rashbam that we're not going to have time for, but look at it in your own time. Levisha Shatnas. Shatnas is the classic case of the chok. These are the mitzvahs on which they said, you should say, I could have done that. So the chukim, a person should say, I could have done that, the Ribbono Shel Olam told me not to. But the things that we understand we mustn't do, murder, theft, lying, these things, the Rambam says, that's where Chazal said that one should say, one shouldn't say I couldn't, one should say I could, but I didn't. But, says Reb Chaim, whether you're talking about the chukim, or whether you're talking about the things that make sense, nevertheless, the prime motivation for keeping the mitzvahs which make sense is not because they make sense, is because that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam said. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam said. The main reason for not eating the disgusting food which has got poison in it is not that it's disgusting, but that it's got poison. The main reason for not accepting property from Melech Stone is not because it's bad for my middos and I might come to feel a sense of entitlement and I would then owe something. No, no, no. The main reason not to do it is because I've taken a shvur, mimele the Ribbono Shel Olam tells me not to. Now, the question, one interesting question, and I happen to believe that's a machlokes rishonim, is how it is that the goyim are supposed to know about sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. How are they supposed to know they're not supposed to do sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach? I mean, the Vietnamese, for example, bless them. How are they supposed to know that they're not supposed to do sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach? So the Iz Rabbeinu Nissim in his Akdama to Shas, which is just before Brochas Daf Beis on the Aleph, Rabbeinu Nissim says they're all logical. Anyone who's compass mentis will understand you shouldn't do that. And if you think about it, most of sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach are pretty much universal. Any society we've ever heard of which is civilized has rules prohibiting who you can kill, prohibiting who you can marry, prohibiting what certain sorts of the removal of property and so on and so forth. You've got a bit of a problem with Avodah Zarah. I had an argument about Hinduism with a chap teaching religion in the University of Roehampton because I told him it's polytheistic. And he said, no, 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 they're all aspects of the one God. But that's a different discussion. However, the Rambam says not so. Have a look at the Rambam, which is number 17. Kol ha-mekabel sheva mitzvahs v'nizah la'asoson. Anyone who accepts sheva mitzvahs and enoch is careful to keep them. Hareze mechasidei umas olam v'yesh lechelik l'olam haba. He is one of chasidei umas olam, he gets olam haba. One should know that the fact that goyim get olam haba is a Mishnah pretty much beferish. The Mishnah in Chelik says, first it says, everybody gets chedik in Olam Haba, and then the next Mishnah says the following people don't get a chedik in Olam Haba. One of whom is Bilam. At the last count, Bilam wasn't Jewish. Now, if it were the case that Goyim don't get chedik in Olam Haba, the Mishnah wouldn't need to say that Bilam doesn't get a chedik in Olam Haba, which is why, as far as I remember, you can't trust my memory, I remember all sorts of things which aren't there. As far as I remember, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos there says, Vaistois from the fact that it says, he doesn't say Vaistois, he was a Sephardi. One may infer from the fact that the Mishnah says Bilam that a Goy who is not like Bilam would get a chedik in Olam Haba, and I don't see a way out of that. Anyway. The Rambam here says, anyone who gets a chelik in Olam Haba, says the Rambam, who she kabelu son, the yasu son, mipnei she tziva ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah, but he has to be mekabel them. Why? Because it's in the Torah, and Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel it. Not like that Rav Nissim Gon, which I told you a minute ago. A goy who keeps sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach, because they're reasonable, they're logical, a good idea, says the Rambam, he's not mechesidi olam, he's nothing. The Rambam says it's got to be because that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam said. Whether sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach chukim, whether they're mishpotim, whether they're a combination, you've got to keep them, you goyim, as do we, you've got to keep them, but not, says the Rambam, because they're reasonable, logical, and necessary for society to function. You've got to keep them because the Ribbono Shel Olam said so. Says the Rambam, that is my source for saying, says Reb Chaim, learning from that Rambam, that the reason why you have to do the mitzvah is not because it's reasonable, it's logical, it's sensible. The reason why Avraham Avinu took a shavua that he wouldn't take the money is not because it's very sensible not to take the money. I shouldn't be meshuvah to that goy. I shouldn't be dependent on him. It's bad for my middos. I might come to develop a sense of entitlement. It's because I want to be in a situation where that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam told me to do. I'm going to overrun by 3 minutes. Anyone who needs to leave, please leave. And those who don't leave out of Derech Eretz, please be moichel. So the Reb Chaim even learnt this in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. The Pasuk in Yirmiyah number 19 says, Al Yishalel Chacham B'Chachmaso, Let a chachmam not be proud of his chachma. Let a gibber not be proud of his gevura. Let an osher not be proud of his ashiras. Bezeus his halela mis halelas kel viodo. See, the only thing one should be proud of is knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki ba'ele chofatsi, that's what I want. Now, this chacham is not doing chachma l'ra. No chacham can be proud of doing, he must be doing chachma l'good, right? The osher is not spending his money on taking care of himself. I mean, that there's nothing to be proud of. He must be doing chesed for other people. The gibber is not doing gevura to beat people up. He obviously must be doing gevura l'shem Hashem. Nevertheless, says the Pasuk, don't be proud of the fact that you're a chacham and doing chachma for good things. Don't be proud of the fact that you're an osher and using ashiras. Don't be proud of the fact that you use your gevura to help people, to protect people. It's got to be that you, what you have to be proud of is ba'ele chofatzti, that you're doing the chevetz Hashem, and that's it. Well, there's 20 minutes left, which we'll do some other time. Let me just tell you one thing, which I find interesting, which I don't think anybody else in the world knows. Let's just go back to the original pasuk. You remember, michut v'yad sroch no'al. So, did Avram need a chut? Obviously not. Did he need a sroch no'al? Obviously not. We know what a shoelace is. What's a chut? I don't know how many of those who are of my generation remember the late Henry Lanza, Olav HaShalom. Henry told me the following. Henry told me the Yitzchok Breuer, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, told him the following, and with this we'll conclude. Yitzchok Breuer told him, till I came to Eretz Yisrael, he was of course from Frankfurt, till I came to Eretz Yisrael, I didn't know what the chut was. And then I saw the Arabs. And the Arabs wear a kafir, and there are black strings around the kafir. Mechut v'yad sroch no'al means from head to toe. It means from the string around the kafir until the shoelace. Kula hai v'ula, I don't know. It's a chiddush, there's wonderful pshat in the posuk. Ah, I wish everyone a good Shabbos and Shalom al Yisrael. Sorry? He made a shvur in order. Sorry? Have a look, and I apologize for that we didn't get there, I miscalculated. Have a look at number 25, please.
We don't have a page 4 in some of the copies.
Oh dear. Please have a look. Give me a moment, sorry. Here, my 25. There is an inyan of taking shavuos to be mekayim mitzvahs. And the last two rows at the bottom of the page are like this. Eliezer ben Avraham. Why did Avraham make him take a shavuot? He didn't think he could do it. He did, but he wanted to do it because, and so on. Likewise, why did Yaakov Avinu make Yosef take a shavuot to bury him? I know the Rashi. I know the Rashi. Put that on one side. Same idea, to force him to do it. Yeah?